So good morning, everybody. Welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space. We are here again, week 103, for our Turning Towards Life project. And I just want to start by saying very simply how glad I am, as always, to be here. Thank you so much for joining us, all of you who come along for the ride with us live on early on a Sunday morning. Well, it may not be early depending upon where you are in the world, or crazy early perhaps, but many of you join us live in our Facebook group on Sunday morning, and lots of you listen on our podcast or catch up on YouTube. Thank you for being with us, because it makes I know we've talked about this so often, Lizzie, it makes what we're doing, we do it anyway, but it makes it something so meaningful and worthwhile feeling to know that this conversation is reaching gradually reaching deeper and deeper and deeper and further into the world. We have a wonderful source that Lizzie's chosen this morning that I'm very excited to talk about. Morning.
Good morning. Hello, everybody. Thank you for being with us. I'm always amazed at the feeling of miraculousness that I get when one of us starts talking and we begin this, Justin. I think, my goodness, what are we doing? Look what we're doing. It's so cool. And it's such a lovely thing to know that there are people with us and that we're in it together. And this source, I don't even know what to say about this source, really, but it just, I can read it again and again and again and feel so much in the reading of it and identify so much with the content of it. And so I'm really curious to see what our conversation brings, and curious to see how we can take this even more deeply in through being in conversation about it. And I think one of the things I love, Justin, is it never fails to happen that I learn many things on each of these conversations, because I can sit in my world and read these sources and take them on and reflect on them. And then whenever you say something about it, it invites me into a whole different part. And it's such a joy to be different and such a joy to be able to listen, because it takes us into different realms. And I think that's why I find this so valuable, is that we are in different narratives, we are in different worlds, and then the more I can listen to your world, I feel expanded and renewed, and like learning is such a beauty. So I'm really grateful. So I'm going to have a read, and then we'll see. It's quite long, I think, so I guess we'll just work out how to manage our time. So this is by Khalil Gibran. And here we go. When love beckons you, follow him, though his ways are hard and steep. And when his wings enfold you, yield to him, though the sword hidden among his pinions may wound you. And when he speaks to you, believe in him, though his voice may shatter your dreams as the north wind lays waste the garden. For even as love crowns you, so shall he crucify you. Even as he is for your growth, so is he for your pruning. Even as he ascends to your height and caresses your tenderest branches that quiver in the sun, so shall he descend to your roots and shake them in their clinging to the earth. Like sheaves of corn, he gathers you unto himself. He threshes you to make you naked. He sifts you to free you from your husks. He grinds you to whiteness. He kneads you until you are pliant, and then he assigns to you his sacred fire, that you may become sacred bread for God's sacred feast. All these things shall love do unto you, that you may know the secrets of your heart, and in that knowledge become a fragment of life's heart. But if in your fear you would seek only love's peace and love's pleasure, then it is better for you that you cover your nakedness and pass out of love's threshing floor into the seasonless world, where you shall laugh, but not all of your laughter, and weep, but not all of your tears. Love gives naught but itself, and takes naught but from itself. Love possesses not, nor would it be possessed, for love is sufficient unto love. Think not you can direct the course of love, for love, if it finds you worthy, directs your course. Love has no other desire but to fulfill itself. But if you love and must needs have desires, let these be your desires. To melt and be like a running brook that sings its melody to the night. To know the pain of too much tenderness. To be wounded by your own understanding of love. And to bleed willingly and joyfully. To wake at dawn with a winged heart and give thanks for another day of loving. To rest at the noon hour and meditate love's ecstasy. To return home at eventide with gratitude, and then to sleep with a prayer for the beloved in your heart and a song of praise upon your lips.
I'm going to read the second half of this, and I'm going to say something, Lizzie, that you very often say before reading this, which is if you're listening, Lizzie, you and I can do this together as well. It might really help to see if you can let yourself soften a little before I read this. So this might, of course, depend upon what you're doing. If you're sitting or lying down, that would be one thing. If you're driving, you'll come at this differently from what I'm about to say, of course. But maybe just feel your feet on the floor. And I think most of all, let yourself feel your breath for a moment. And if you find that there are places that you are braced or holding this out, see if you can let them soften a little bit so you can let these words in and through you. A long out breath might do the trick. All these things shall love do unto you, that you may know the secrets of your heart. And in that knowledge, become a fragment of life's heart. But if in your fear you would seek only love's peace and love's pleasure, then it is better for you that you cover your nakedness and pass out of love's threshing floor into the seasonless world, where you shall laugh, but not all of your laughter, and weep, but not all of your tears. Love gives naught but itself and takes naught but from itself. Love possesses not, nor would be possessed, for love is sufficient unto love. Think not that you can direct the course of love, for love, if it finds you worthy, directs your course. Love has no other desire but to fulfill itself. But if you love and must needs have desires, let these be your desires, to melt, and be like a running brook that sings its melody to the night. To know the pain of too much tenderness. To be wounded by your own understanding of love and to bleed willingly and joyfully. To wake at dawn with a winged heart and give thanks for another day of loving. To rest at the noon hour and meditate love's ecstasy. To return home at eventide with gratitude and then to sleep with a prayer for the beloved in your heart. And a song of praise upon your lips.
Thank you, Justin. Oh, my goodness. It just completely undoes me. And has me reflect on the kind of, you know, when it says you cannot direct the course of love, for love, if it finds you worthy, directs your course. I so often feel like I'm had by love. Like I can fight it, I can push it away, I can do all kinds of things. But at the end of the day, the strength of it, and when I say love in that context, I mean like the way I love people. It has me, and I feel Like, it's the one thing I don't have a choice but be a victim to. Like, it's so powerful and beautiful and important and so undoing. And makes me into someone who is different than I even would imagine myself to be. Like, different possibilities come because of the way I love. And then that's, yeah, it feels often really, I mean, I can be walking along the street and often feel like completely terrified of the depth and the consequence of feeling the love that I feel. And so when I read this, I feel so validated in the place that's kind of beyond my ordinary sleep. Like, this is awakening for me, like awakening into a place that's so important and like the pillars of everything, and yet the most terrifying and altering force that I know in my life.
So beautiful hearing you say all of that, Lizzie. I was very struck as we were reading by a couple of things that are, I think, are intimately connected with what you just said. The one is how easy it would be to read this poem as if it were just about one kind of love, as if it were about romantic sexual love, that kind of, this kind of love that is elevated in our culture as the emblem of what love is, that everyone should strive for or fail at. And of course it includes that. It's clear to me that that's included here. But when I hear you speak, and of course knowing you and who's around you and some of who I see you love and what I see you love, I know immediately in your speaking about it that you're pointing into something way bigger and deeper, way more vast. Exactly as you said, when you walk down the street and you can feel it, anything and anyone can become caught up in this great flow of love that can come through us. And the consequences of allowing ourselves, and this is one of the ways in which I've been reading the poem, particularly the second half, where Khalil Gibran says, you know, if you're really not up for this, better to get out of its way if you can, which is that love has a way of blowing everything open and having us come to the world raw and exposed, because the consequences of our love are so vast. You know, to love trees or to love a person or to love a child or to love a project or to love the world or to immediately exposes us, brings into view the enormous depths of courage and creativity and tenderness and presence that are available to us humans, and also exposes us to all the risk as well. And that we can't love in this way without feeling grief, for example. This is something that seems very apparent to me in my own life. Without feeling the grief of what has not yet been lost as well. Like, grief isn't something we only feel when we lose something or somebody that we love. Grief is what we feel when we love, in the very knowing that what we love will be lost to us, or we will be lost to what we love inevitably. And so this is one of the reasons I appreciate this source and its power, is because I think one of the sort of bargains that many of us make is, well, I won't love too much. And if I say it in a particular way that comes from Khalil Gibran, I won't open myself to love coming through too much. I'll do whatever I can when I start to feel it to kind of damp it, try and damp it down and get it under control. And then I can feel in control, like I can direct things. And I feel like I can save myself. And the consequence is that what we end up controlling is so tiny. Like, there are a few things we control, but only if we not many, but only if we really close ourselves down. And last thing is the kind of love for whatever it is, the kind of love that I think us humans are actually openings to just by the kind of bodies we have and the kind of relationships we have, is so terribly inconvenient. So it doesn't go well with, I'm trying to be a proper person in charge of my life and in charge of everything. It runs an opposite direction to that. And in a way, that's part of the trouble. Mm-hmm. And it also doesn't go well along the lines I've been thinking a lot, as we are in very politically turbulent times, about hate. That one of the problems with love is it blows our hate apart. And so it gives us way less control over our strength and our power. It renders us, if you compare love to other things, it has this problem that it sort of renders us vulnerable. I might love, and who knows what might happen from it. I'm not really in charge. With something like hate or disappointment or resentment, or at least like I'm the one who's, I'm on this. Mm. And that's why love is so hard, but also why it's so necessary, because it's brings us close to the ground, is probably the best way I can say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I often find the language in myself of like feeling like I'm being smashed to smithereens. Of course, the I I'm talking about is probably the kind of the I that's made of all my preferences or my ways I want to control things or go to sleep to things or deny things or cope with being a person. I feel consistently kind of rendered smashed. It's like when this arrives, when this feeling, and also I'm noticing it kind of arises. This is not like I try and feel love or something. Like it's like a spontaneous something that happens, just an ordinary thing that is here. And to feel it and to experience it feels like being smashed apart. So, you know, that vulnerability that you're speaking of, it's like like everything's raw, like our skin gets kind of taken off or something. And what I enjoy about the end of this poem is like is that there's a way to work with it, a way to be present to it, to know that we're going to be wounded, to know that we're going to bleed, to know that the pain of the tenderness is too much for us. Like, I appreciate the language because it allows me to stay in the experience rather than do all kinds of things that would be to try and control something that's uncontrollable. And I guess that, you know, just doesn't work out well when I try and contain something that's so huge. And to bring words like gratitude and prayer and praise, it's like there are certain responses to love that feel appropriate given what love, the experience of love feels like, and to be had by it, to be taken by it, to be made vulnerable, to be laid bare. The writing here makes it okay. And I so appreciate that. And it's also a realm that doesn't really get spoken about in many contexts either. You know, the way that we love one another, the way that, as you say, we love a tree or a cat or anything. It's possible with anything. I fell in love with a stone once in India. Like, these things, they happen, and and we're lost to ourselves, and to have a way of being in the lostness and in the smashed to smithereensness feels really important. And it doesn't say, I think the other thing to say is that there is a kind of suffering that happens here as well. I know that my body aches physically, and it really hurts to feel like this, the depth and magnitude of the way I feel. And that's very closely linked to fear as well. Like the moment I love, the moment, as you said, there's a risk. The moment I love deeply is the moment I see what there is to lose. And I have to make a choice, like, oh yes, do I just, as this lovely piece says, you know, do I just hold myself back so that it's okay? And or do I let myself go into it? And so far, there must be hundreds of thousands of times I've closed myself off to it. But when I have a chance to reflect, I can never find another option but to carry on loving. Like, even if I want to protect myself, even if it's too terrifying, even if what's at stake is too risky, I have to, it's like I don't have a choice but to keep loving. That's how powerful the love is. It's like it doesn't let me do the only for the pleasure and only for the good parts. It's so strong and deep that it makes me choose again and again just to carry on doing what I'm doing, even though I'm skeptical about it, or even though I'm worried about it, or even though I'm terrified of the consequences of loving. It keeps me doing the same thing. Maybe after a retraction or a piece of terror or wanting to hold myself back. But the love itself is such a powerful invitation. It's not even an invitation, actually. It's like a no-brainer. Of like, that's the only thing to do is carry on with the love.
Hmm. I'm really feeling, as you're talking about it, Lizzie, how there's part of it that you're talking about contraction, how familiar that is to me. There's a way in which, faced with the enormity of what it is to be a human being and to love and to let love through, this way that Carla Gibran has a saying to us, you know, you think this is your love, but it doesn't go that way. It's something much, much bigger that comes through us if we allow it, gets expressed through us. I so know the feeling of contracting away from life in order not to feel the magnitude of it. And it's like I think the place that it starts, we could talk about it metaphorically or emotionally, it's a bodily contraction as well for me. I know some of the places in which I contract, and it's up here in my chest, and I can hold. There's a sort of way in which things tighten and I hold my breath in order not to experience. So it's a kind of experiential avoidance strategy for not feeling the giantness of it. And I know it comes at a giant cost. And when you were saying that for you, there's no choice but to love, I realized that for me, in one way, that's true. And in another way, I can be enormously practiced at holding this in. And I can think of examples. I can think of standing by my dad's bedside when he was in intensive care and we thought he was about to die, and feeling the, can I really let myself feel how much I love him and how painful this is and all of that? And in a health scare of my own, feeling that, well, if I just contract enough and I don't really feel all of this, I'll be saved for it. Or when I watch my children growing up, and it's like the myth that somehow the contraction will save me. And of course, actually what happens is, first of all, the contraction doesn't save anything. But the second thing is that it prevents something that is really necessary from being in the world, that's life-giving, far beyond me. And I was thinking about it whilst you were talking, Lizzie, I was thinking about those sort of extreme life and death moments when there's a person who we love, but also when I'm doing my work and I won't let myself feel how much it's possible to love doing just this. Mm-hmm. like, I'm not making a claim that every kind of work I've ever done I love. It's not that way around. It's like, when there is really something to love, how easy it is to go is not too much of this because, and then all of the consequences. So it's one of the reasons why I love so much these lines at the end, which are calling us into the melting that's called for. If you're going to love and you have to have desires, let your desires be melting like a running brook, not trying to keep it safe. Let yourself, and then as a consequence of letting yourself be wounded by your own understanding of what this is, then to wake with the thanks and the gratitude that comes. So it's the kind of, I suppose what I'm pointing into in the middle of all of this is the kind of experiential management and the sort of image management that we get into. Well, I'm not that kind of person who would really let myself feel all of this that we do, which is kind of like, it's almost like, you know, with a sea anemone and you touch it and you go, shh, in. And so then the inevitable, where you can't help yourself but love, that you talk about, Lizzie, I think for many of us is something that we have to really find ways to practice. Just simple, like the simple bodily act of opening. Can I let my body not just be contorted all the time? Can I find a way to breathe through enough? Can I find a way to let my ribs open so that I'm can feel it? And I want to say all of this because I think for so many of us who have bodies that do this, this is not optional if we want to learn to love this way. We have to come at it with actually very simple but very powerful practice that will keep on opening and opening and opening, so that we even have a chance of love messing with us in the way that Khaled Gibran is inviting us to.
Yeah, I really appreciate this talking about softness, Justin. I can feel the necessity in order for us to be encountering this force as powerfully as it intends to have us. It feels like we have to soften. We have to, as you say, like, let our ribs soften and let ourselves breathe and relate to it like it's something to be welcomed, and to notice all of the contraction and all of the, for me, it's like being terrified. You know, that's my pattern. It's like it hits and then I go, this is so frightening. There's so much at stake. There's too much risk here. I can't do it. Da, 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 da. And to let that be there and find the next step rather than let that terror dictate my next move, as it were. And to have bodies that are, and nervous systems that are, have some awareness around them that we can bring with our consciousness, that leave us in a position to choose to relax into something and to have faith into something, feels like a prerequisite. Like, the body's such a powerful place that this could be stopped, that this could be pushed away, that this could be denied. And this is such a big conversation as well. I mean, there's so many ways to go in it and so many things to feel and think about it. But I think that, you know, the way that this piece of text articulates the stripping down of us, you know, when it has us grinding us to whiteness, it just feels so true to me. Like, it just feels like, you know, if I think about you standing by your dad's bedside or watching your children growing up and, you know, all of the events in my life that have called it all into question, it's like we get, well, the language here is threshed. We get, like, it's not ours to choose anymore. It is what it is. It actually is real, and it's the biggest part of the experience, and it is way too tender, it is way too painful, all of the things, and it's not under our control, and to have a body that can accept the lack of control instead of keeping on. I mean, it's futile as well. I mean, I think that's part of the thing that I feel when reading this, is there's a futility to my denial or my pushing away that it will have us in the end. So, you know, you were talking about the place where you do something that you love and you say, oh, well, then you're not too much of that. When I hear you say that, my mind goes, well, it'll get you in the end, Justin. It's like, I get it, like, and it will have us. Whatever that work is, that is really your love, my love, anyone's love who's working, it will have us. And we either go willingly or we fight and we push away and we deny. And the question that I feel like this invites me really deeply to is how do I join in? Because it's got me anyway. It's got me. And I can pretend that that's not true in all kinds of ways. But how do I bleed willingly and joyfully? Because that's what the territory is, if I'm just honest about it and say what I know to be true or feel what I know to feel. And so it's, do I get dragged kicking and screaming and trying to control something that's uncontrollable? Or do I participate and find my way to flow in that running brook that leaves me nourished, that leaves different things being possible, that leaves me living a life of risk after risk after risk in the realms of love?
How beautiful. There's so much in there, Lizzie, and I'm aware of the time that it is, and so I'm holding back from responding for now.
Yeah.
I love what you said about when we look closely, there are endless realms and depths to go with this.
Yeah. I feel like this could be like part one, part two, part three, part four, part five.
Yes.
This would be one of the sources that you might forgive me for bringing back, because I didn't realize I'd done it.
I will always forgive you for bringing back the same source, whether or not you've forgotten that we brought it. Oh yeah, I'm sure this is a great example of the kind of work, Lizzie, where when we speak about it, the early choices we make about what to talk about direct us down a path.
Yeah.
And there are
any
number of paths with this beautiful, there's a reason why Khalil Gibran's work stands in the way that it does.
Yeah.
I will be very glad to come back to this again. Mm-hmm.
So everybody, thank you once again for being with us, whether you're on our podcast, whether you're in the YouTube space, whether you're on Facebook, on our website. It's a true joy to be having these conversations. And I think we've said it before, but for Justin and I, this is really like a place of homecoming and centeredness, and gives us such a gift every single week. And 103 weeks worth of giftedness is quite something to receive in one's life, I think. So thank you for being here and making it possible that we just continue on and on. And we will be back here next Sunday at 9 a.m. as usual. And thank you so much for being with us in this conversation about love.
We will, Lizzie, next week be completing 2 years.
Ooh.
Of turning towards life.
Ooh. How amazing.
So I just wanted to say that to everyone. And I want to add one thing to Lizzie's voice, which is, if you know people who would love this, tell them, please. Because we know that when people come into the orbit of these conversations, very often something happens. And I feel very dedicated to us making that available to people. So you just have to tell them, nothing else. And thank you again from me as well. And we'll see you soon.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.